Hello everyone and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. Today's date is May the 1st, 2017, and today's title is Keeping Chickens. Although I've titled this the 1st of May and it's scripted on the 1st of May, the reality is it's actually the 2nd of May because again, it was a bank holiday. So apologies for that. Coming up today, I have the usual diary, then a little on keeping chickens, which was suggested to me by a listener. So I always try and do what listeners want to hear in my own way. So I've done it. Before that, I just want to apologise slightly on the audio on last week's podcast. Everything came through okay, but it just wasn't as clear, I guess would be the right way to say it. And that was just down to file size. Because it was quite a long one, the file itself was quite long, which meant I couldn't upload it very easily. So I had to kind of reduce down the bit rate to get it up onto the website. But I'm going to look into that. Now I've done I've actually had an interview and I know what I need to do. It's something to basically bear in mind. So let's get on with the diary. Well, last week, the weather forecast predicted a frost. And I wasn't wrong. There was definitely a frost. Obviously, as they were predicting it, I didn't really move plants out of the greenhouse or anything. I just kind of left them as they were. The frost definitely came, and down the allotment, it damaged a few plants. The potatoes have been hit with frost, but I think they'll bounce back. The grape plant had been hit with frost, but I'm sure that'll bounce back. And a couple of peas slightly hit with frost, but again, they'll bounce back and they're actually not looking too bad. A few of the other little things were hit a bit, but it's a bit of a late frost, but it's not too bad. At home, no problems at all with frost. I actually left one tomato plant, one of the Alicantes, outside just as an experiment, see how it does. And it survived, it's fine. So yeah, it's quite amazing the difference between at home and the allotment. And that's just down to microclimates. Obviously, at home and there's a lot more stone, it's a lot more sheltered. So that make things a little bit easier for the plants. However, I should have ran down the allotment and put some fleece over the potatoes to protect them a bit. And I'm going to remember that for next year. And getting some fleece when the time's right. I can't see we'll get any more problems with frost this year, but I'll be watching the weather closely. Now, Friday I took a trip to Kew Gardens for a day out. Great day out, I have to say. Plenty to see, including kitchen gardens, which are obviously what I really am interested in. We spent all day there. We walked about 6 miles, I think it ended up, walking around looking at all the various greenhouses and things, the exhibits. The kitchen gardens themselves didn't have a huge amount growing in them, but it was still worth a visit and have a look around. I plan on going back there again one day and have another look around. But I really, really enjoyed it. Really, really good little garden. It's not badly priced. It's £14 each. The greenhouses were amazing and the plants they actually have growing in there, absolutely fantastic. Very interesting. Really good day out. Saturday I spent the day at home and was weeding the paths and tidying up a little. Nothing really major. Just kind of a chill out day, I guess. And then Sunday I was down the allotment and done a lot more weeding. I keep saying that's a big thing of me at the moment, and I am trying to get on top of the weeding. I managed to burn some stuff with my, what I call my incinerator now, which I've also put used as a to boil the kettle. Basically, it's an old washing machine drum with plenty of holes in the side, as washing machines do. Placed it on the soil with some stones, put burnable materials in it, set fire to it. It burned lovely. It worked. I then placed a grill over top and boiled some water to make a cup of tea. So recycling in its element there. I planted out some onions. These were mostly the Red Baron and the rest of my Bedfordshire Champion. So they're out. They're done. My cauliflowers have gone out. I've done all of those. These were a variety all year round. And my red kale. So we'll see how they get on. They were all struggling a bit at home, I've noticed. I think they might have been getting a bit too hot. Not enough water, because we haven't had rain for about 6 weeks. It's finally rained over this weekend, so I'm really, really pleased for it. I then went home and sowed some runner beans and some bolotti beans. And then the runner beans were obviously a variety called Crusader that I bought last year for my grandfather's funeral, so it was a bit emotional when sowing these again, but that's what it is. That's how it has to happen. I moved the Alicante tomatoes completely outside. That one survived fine, so the rest will follow. I'll keep a close eye on it. I think I've got some fleas should I need to, but I've then moved some red pear tomatoes into the cold frame and start getting those hardened off so they can soon go outside as well. I then potted on some pumpkins and they've gone into the greenhouse to grow. Just got to keep watering them. And that's it with the diary. That's what I've done over this last week. It's been pretty productive with having a week off, but also wife wanted me to do things in the house, so I couldn't say no. Now, keeping chickens. I think I've done this for about a year now. Well, just over a year. I think it's a really great way of growing more food in the back garden. Highly, highly recommend it. I've had them just over a year now, and I've not looked back since getting them. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I spent a long time researching and looking into keeping chickens. So where did I start from? Well, my first considerations and where I think we should all think is, can you actually keep a chicken? And by that, I mean, check local rules and laws, your county laws, your town laws, and even if your actual street allows it, for example. Then check with your neighbours and check how they feel about it. But don't just go do it. Oh, I want to keep chickens. How do you feel about it? They might not like it. Do a bit of research so you can go to them and say, I want to keep chickens. I'm going for these varieties that are fairly quiet. There's not going to be a rooster, and there's not going to be rats and stuff and things like that. All things to consider. And look into that your neighbours might be concerned about. I was lucky when I approached my neighbours with it. They were pretty good about it. They quite like looking at them. And I sometimes give them a few eggs just to keep them happy. So, next consideration is the equipment. And to be honest, you don't need a huge amount of equipment. The coop and or run, depending on how you do it, is probably the biggest outlay of the lot. You've got to think where you're going to place the chickens, because they love grass, absolutely love grass, but they will eat the grass down to the earth. They will scratch the grass up, they'll scratch the soil up. I keep mine on the veg patch because that's worked for me. And they dig over the soil and everything for me. They eat weeds and stuff, so it's a win-win. The coop is obviously where they sleep and where they're housed. It needs to be off the ground by a couple of feet, as this just makes them feel safe. When I first decided to get chickens, my original plan was to get a omelette igloo cube with a 3 meter run and wheels. And I wanted the wheels so I could move the coop around the veg batch all every now and then, so they, or quite often really, so they had a different patch of ground to explore and scratch, etc., etc. The only reason I didn't go for this is I couldn't justify the price of nearly £1,000. That was my only reason I couldn't. If I had the money, I would definitely. So I then looked at buying one. And you can pick them up for brand new, this is a few £100. Some as low as £100, but it all depends on size and things like that. I did look at making one. And I drew up designs and everything. And I'd done a bit of research into making a coop. So, and I'll share this now. Basically, with a coop, you would need a floor space of sort of 30 centimetres by 30 centimetres per chicken, plus the nest box. But I'll come to that later. Then in the coop, we obviously need bits of wood, sort of 4 centimetres wide by 4 centimetres thick, fairly strong, and at least 40 centimetres long per bird, and a couple of perches as well at that. These perches just need to be rounded. And these perches are basically where the chickens, they'll climb on and they will sleep. They will huddle together, but they will sleep on the perches. And it's basically imitating a tree branch. You got to remember the perch needs to be higher than the nest box, as they like to roost as high as they can. Again, it's about feeling safe and away from predators. Nest boxes are basically simply an area where they can nest and lay eggs. Looking for an area sort of 30 centimetres by 30 centimetres that they can literally nest in. And you want at least 2 nest boxes, and for every 4 birds, 1 nest box. So, for example, if you have 2 birds, you want 2 nest boxes. If you have 4 birds, you want 2 nest boxes. If you have 5 birds, you want, well, you're 2, but if you have 10, you'll be up to 3 nest boxes. You get the idea. Although, I've got to admit with mine, they tend to use the same nest box regardless. So, but that's not uncommon. They'll queue up and they'll have their favourites. But again, that's neither here. Now, I would have made mine out of wood. I felt it to make one, it would have had to look pretty respectful, because, you know, the neighbours looking into the garden, they don't want to see a mess and what have you. So it was worth considering that. And I would have made it out of a pressure treated tongue and groove or something similar to that, just for aesthetics. Could have done plywood or something simple, but again, it needed to look respectful for the neighbours. My idea would, I would have had basically a box, 1 meter by 1 meter, 90 centimeters high to the roof, which would have sloped down, give it on the other side, sort of 80 centimeters high. The roof would have been made of plywood and covered in felt, and I would have had it sloping so when it rains, rain goes away. You get the idea. Floor would have been lined with the kitchen lino, and that just makes it easy to clean. On the back, I would have had nest box attached so they can climb straight into that and lay their eggs. That would also had a felt, plywood with felt lining lid, which could have been lift up and I get the eggs out. A lot like what I've got now. This box would have been raised a couple of feet off the ground with a ramp up to the poop hole for the chickens to access. They can climb up and get in. And the poop hole is basically the door that at the front that the chickens use. It's closed at night so no foxes or anything can get in. And it's open in the morning so they can get out. On the side of the sleeping area, the coop, There would have also been another door to make life easier for cleaning and that sort of thing. I would have had the run attached to this, and I would have basically, again, taken some sort of 4x2, I guess. Kind of what I have done anyway. And made a frame, a sturdy frame, lined it with chicken wire, and made a run, basically the size I would have wanted it around. And I would have, on the roof, and I originally planned for chicken wire on the roof just to let the sun in, but after having them now, I would have actually done it as some sort of, so rain doesn't get in. Chickens hate being wet. They prefer being dry, so keep them dry. Now, free range is obviously another option if you just want to let the coop and let them run in. But for me, I'm at work all day, so I didn't like the idea of the chickens just roaming the garden all day long. There could have been predators such as foxes, cats, dogs, hawks. Giddy idea. I could have got them. And also there's a chance I could have got into the neighbours' gardens, eaten their stuff as well. So I made the run as large as possible and made it so nothing could get in and nothing could get out. The legal definition for free range is now 4 metres squared per chicken. And of course, open-topped, had I not had a top on top of a run, you need to go sort of 6 foot high because chickens can sort of fly or jump, and 6 foot would kind of stop them. But that doesn't stop cats or anything getting in. And believe me, I've seen a cat go for my chickens. They will go for one. Anyway, I drew out my plans and priced it up, and then I found a secondhand coop on eBay. It wasn't an amazing looking, but it'll do. It was actually, people selling it lived two doors from a house I grew up in, so kind of felt good. So I ended up buying this coop. It was about £50, if I remember right. I took it home, I disinfected it, cleaned it completely out, and then added a longer run to the coop by building, as I said, the frame and everything and lining it with chicken wire. Chicken wire that actually needs to be strong stuff. Don't go for, I say chicken wire, I've actually gone for galvanized wire, which is square as opposed to the hexagonal. Chicken wire itself is actually quite weak, whereas galvanized wire that is kind of designed for aviaries and stuff. It's quite strong and it can resist a few attacks if done right. And I've simply stapled this wire netting, wire mesh, onto it with a staple gun. With mine, I've also made it the run modular, so I can add bits on, take bits down, change them when needed, and so on. That's getting into some complicated stuff, but I'm pretty good at engineering, so I kind of had a good idea on how to do these things. Again, there's enough resources on the internet to tell you how to give a few ideas on how to build things and stuff. I will add a few resources for how to build chicken coops and things on the blog post for this week. Food and water is the next consideration. So I brought a plastic chicken and feeder and water set from Amazon, and I still use these to this day. I hang them up on a stand I made, but I'm planning on hanging them from the roof of the run soon. Food is always kept in the run. It never goes in the coop, except something I'll come up to later. I've added a link to the Amazon page for these chicken feeder sets as an item of the week. For the food, I buy in a bag of Layers pellets, which are quite cheap, under £9 for a 20 kilo bag, and that will last me about 3 months. That provides everything the chicken really needs to produce eggs and what have you. I keep the bag in another item. It's like a feed bin, which is also a link on Amazon I've added under the title of Items of the Week. They're vermin proof, so they can't get in, or rats or anything can't get in, because there is a saying, when you keep chickens, you also keep rats too, but I've not suffered from it because I'm quite diligent. I'll come to that later. Water, I use fresh tap water every day. Just pour it into the tap, from the tap. At the end of the day, I pour it away. I actually use it in the greenhouse so it doesn't get wasted. Every now and then, I will add a chicken tonic or cider vinegar just to help the health of the chickens, and they are a bit healthier with it. I also supplement the chickens with some vegetables from the garden, spinach, cabbage ends, that sort of thing. Slugs and snails they will eat as well. If I find any, they go in there. Although they tend to go for the smaller ones, smaller than the bigger ones. But again, that's it. Chickens, basically, they won't eat anything they can't eat. So they're pretty good like that. But don't ever give them chocolate or avocado. They can't eat that. I keep a pot of mixed corn as well. And most evenings I'll give them a handful. They'll eat it straight out of my hand. Or if I've released them out into the vegetable patch and I want them back in the run, I can use it to get them back in the run. They love the stuff. But it is a treat because it's high calories for them and it can make them fat. Also, if you do it sort of in the evening, it creates more heat in them so they can then keep themselves warmer overnight. The final thing to consider on this side is peck block or oyster shell, crushed oyster shell. Basically, I hang a peck block up and it's worked for me. It was simple, forgotten about it. I've probably got to get some more soon, but we'll come to that then. And basically, they eat this to get some grit inside their gizzard. Obviously, birds, they eat things that we can't, and the gizzard basically crushes up all the seeds and makes it edible for them. So they need a bit of grit in there. They sometimes eat small stones when they're allowed to forage. The final thing to consider with chickens is entertainment, how you keep them entertained. Now, they are social animals, so you don't want less than two. And I've done two, and they're fine. Probably we should have three or four for them to be even more happier. But I hang a mirror up, and that gives them an illusion of there's another chicken. Also hang CDs up just to catch some sunlight, and that also gives them a bit of entertainment. I've also thrown a log into their run and made another perch up, an outside perch. And this just adds a bit more entertaining while they're in the run. Sometimes I'll hang some cabbage up from the roof of a run, and they have to jump up and get it or something like that. Just, again, keeping them entertained, keeping them exercised. So now when it comes to buying the birds, there are hundreds and hundreds of different varieties, and I researched a lot into them to find what was right for me, and I recommend you do the same. I considered ex-battery hens, as they are cheap, but as a beginner, my research kind of concluded that it's not easy for a beginner to look after ex-batteries. So I decided to buy some point-of-lay hens. And point-of-lay basically means they're old enough to survive and start laying within a few weeks. About 17 weeks, 16, 17, 18 weeks. I found a local supplier called Martinswood Farm, who I highly, highly recommend. I had a really good feeling about this company. They really love their birds. The birds were fully vaccinated, which is another thing to consider when buying them. And overall, it was a really good experience. I decided on a variety called, two varieties. My first one was a variety called Amber, which is a white bird. Excellent layer, a really good layer. She's laid right throughout winter. Although she is a bit of an escape artist, the veg patch fencing, if you like, is about four foot high, and she'll jump over that and try and get out. Her name is Grills. The other variety I got was called Goldline, a brown variety. A pretty good layer. Stopped about December, picked up again about March, give or take, but she went for a molt at the same time. It's pretty good layer. Very easy to look after, she is actually. Very inquisitive, very friendly. I named this one Bear. She doesn't jump out or anything of the vegetable patch when she's out. And she's your standard kid farmer variety, farm variety chicken. That one's called Bear, so they're called Bear and Grills, as I've probably mentioned before. But as I say, there are hundreds of varieties, and these were ones that suited me. You might base it on your own personal circumstance, but of course, find a supplier, talk to them, and get some really good information out of them. So when I decided to get them, the day before I got the hens, I basically placed wood chips, or wood shavings is the correct term, sorry, in the coop on the floor. And I put some straw in the nest boxes. The day I got the hens, I brought them home. I got them about 10:30, brought them home. It was about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And they went straight in the coop, which was closed, so they couldn't get out of the coop. Just with a little tub of food and water in there. And that's just so they feel safe. They know where their coop is and so on. Now, this was actually advice I got from Martinswood Farm, so I followed their advice. The next morning, I placed the food and water in the run. Now, the food and water always lives in the run. I opened the poop hole so they could explore the run. Basically, that's what I do every morning now, and every night, they take themselves off to bed just after sunset. So once they go, I go and close the poop hole and remove the food and water. And that is basically what I do every day. That's the very basic care anyway. Once a week, I basically remove all the wood chips and straw and replace them fresh, cleaning them out, if you like. Then after 2 weeks, I was allowed to let them out the run. Into the veg patch, where they basically do what I wanted them to do, eat the slugs and snails, explore, scratch the soil, get the weeds, and so on and so on. Every evening I try and let them out now. There were obviously over this winter just gone, I wasn't allowed to due to DEFRA, but that's a completely different subject. Yeah, so basically that every day it's let them out in the morning, pop the food and water in, at night, close them out, close the poop hole, or in the evening I let them run about. I might give them some mixed corn, and then when I go to bed I lock them up and bring the food and water in. The water I use anyway. Once a year I basically deep clean the coop, and that is I strip all the wood and everything out, disinfect it, and so on. And that's basically all I really do to look after them. Now, I haven't suffered with rats. A lot of people do suffer with rats, but I've done a lot of research, and I was basically told that to stop rats, you need good hygiene, so good housekeeping, and don't leave food out for them, because that's what attracts the rats. So that's why I have the food hanging, so rats can't get to it, and I don't leave it out at night. It comes in every night. There may be the odd night where I'm away, and they might get left out for one night. But that's it. I've covered basically everything I do with chickens, but there's several areas that I've got no experience with, and I've not done anything with them. So these are, I don't have a rooster. Never hatched chickens from eggs. I've never clipped my chicken's wings. So those are some of the things that I've not really covered. again, I would say that a lot of the links on my website, on the blog page, will cover a lot of the other stuff. But really, that's all I've had to do. They are so easy, and I highly recommend them. And the fact that they eat slugs and snails, they eat weeds and stuff like that, just makes them a bonus. So if you're planning on keeping chickens, I highly recommend it. If you want any more advice, check out the blog links. Leave a comment on my blog, get in touch, and I'll try and help you out as well as much as I can. And of course, if you're experienced in keeping chickens, let me know what you do in the comments below. But again, I can't tell you how easy they really are. It's so easy. They're probably the easiest animals I've ever had to keep. So, yeah, they look after themselves and what have you. Then they're entertaining. Now, okay, I'm going to close up for this week. I'm up over 32 minutes, so I apologise for it being quite a long podcast this week. And I still probably didn't cover everything I'd hoped to cover, but it's great. I've got the basics covered. So until next week, please take care, and I will see you again next time.